here's a groaner. Why is a computer so smart? Anybody have any idea? Why is a computer so smart? You know, it listens to the motherboard. I like this. What did the mother bullet say to the daddy bullet? What? We're gonna have a BB. I know they're groaners. Okay. Moving on now. We're going to have a baptismal service. And if you care to be baptized, if this is something that you want to go through the waters of baptism, then let me know, because we'd love to be part of this. And it's a wonderful experience. I want to share just a couple of things concerning baptism. I want to read a couple of scriptures concerning what happened here with John the Baptist and what happened to Jesus at his baptism. Because when you're talking about baptism, you want to talk a little bit about Jesus' baptism. Now, when we sing songs about Jesus, and we sing songs about the Lamb of God, and we sing songs about Jesus going to the cross and dying for our sins, that's all absolutely wonderful. He is the Lamb of God. He is the one who paid the price for us. He is the one who is willing to give up his life so our sins could be washed away. And the scripture clearly teaches that every one of us need a Savior to wash away their sins, because the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That includes me, that includes you, that includes everybody. And so Jesus is that Savior that we need. And I thank God that he has done that for us, so that we can have life and life more abundantly, as he declared. And that's all a part of the cross. But then after Jesus went to the cross, after he died on the cross, he didn't stay on the cross. That's why we don't have Jesus hanging on the cross. We have the cross to represent what Jesus did, but we don't have him hanging on the cross because he's not there anymore. We were singing today about Jesus being King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now we worship him as the King. We worship him as the one who is coming again, the Bible says, on a white horse, and he's coming not as the Savior of the world this time, but as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I love to worship Jesus as King. He's my King. I'm a subject of the kingdom of heaven. He is the one that I look to. And it's an awesome privilege for you and I to recognize that the King of the universe knows you. The King of the universe knows all about you. He cares about you. He loves you. He wants the very best for you. That's who Jesus is. I want you to see him as King. And as Jesus was baptized, there was some words spoken over him. I want to read just a little bit from Matthew chapter 3 for a moment. Matthew 3:13, it says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized." Came to Jordan River to be baptized. And John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me?" In other words, John the Baptist was saying, I know who you are. I know you're the King of Kings. I know you're the Savior of the world. You should be baptizing me. I shouldn't be baptizing you. And yet Jesus said, "Permit it, for thus it is fitting to fulfill all righteousness." Jesus said to John the Baptist, he said, "No, I want to go through the waters of baptism so that all righteousness might be fulfilled." Another way to put that is that Jesus was saying that in order to have complete right standing with God. Jesus seemed to think that in order to have complete right standing with God, that we go through the waters of baptism, that we go through this time of showing by our submission to baptism that we belong to Jesus, or that we belong to the kingdom of God. Jesus was going through the waters of baptism because he was stating clearly that he was keeping the fulfillment of the law. And as we see further, we're going to see that he also initiated a new covenant for you and I to be able to join in with. But he said, "Let this be to fulfill all righteousness." Righteousness simply means right standing with God. Before I knew Jesus, before I received Jesus and accepted him as my Lord and Savior, I did not have right standing with God. I was out of righteousness. But the day that I knelt by my bed and I said, Jesus, I don't know if you're real. I don't know if this God thing is real, because I didn't. But I said, if you're real, come in and change my life. And you know what? He did. He did. He changed my life. And I just thank God for it. And when I accepted him, his sacrifice to wash away my sin, I then became righteous, or I then had right standing with God. I was changed from a place of being unrighteous to a place of having right standing with him. If there's anybody that I want to have right standing with, it's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, Ross and I could, maybe we could get something and we could have a difficult time, and we might have an argument with one another and be offended with one another, and we would not be in right standing. And that would not be good. But it wouldn't be nearly as bad as not being right with God. With being right with God, if we're out of fellowship with him, if we're not in right standing with him, it costs us everything. It might cost me fellowship with Ross. If we were having a difficult time in that area, it would cost me, because I wouldn't be able to enjoy his fellowship and so forth. But with God, if we're not right, don't have right standing with him, it costs us everything, absolutely everything. Jesus said, allow this to happen in order to fulfill all righteousness. Verse 16, when he had baptized Jesus, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. I love this next verse. First, we see that Jesus came out of the waters of baptism. The Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus like a dove. There was something special that happened to him at his baptism, that the Holy Spirit came upon him. And then there was this voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. I want you to know, when you go through the waters of baptism, there all heaven takes notice. And I'm convinced that the Father is saying, this is my beloved Son. This is my beloved daughter in whom I am well pleased. I am so pleased that they took this initiative and declared publicly that they belong to me. I love that. It's wonderful to hear our Heavenly Father say, this is my beloved Son. I don't know about you folks, but when I was a little guy, and I used to go to around with my dad sometimes in places, and just to hear dad, somebody was asking, who is this child or something, and dad say, well, that's my son. And just to hear him say that meant something to me. Just to hear him say those words, that's my son, I belong to him. He gives me identity. When you hear your Heavenly Father saying that, this is my beloved son. And this is my beloved daughter. He's telling all heaven, all the angels and everybody, look, this is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter. What a precious thing it is. And then Jesus said, do this, go through the waters of baptism to fulfill all righteousness. Now that's an interesting statement, because there's something about righteousness that we don't completely understand. And I just want to go through this just really quickly. Something that the Apostle Paul wrote about righteousness when he declared his right or his position in the kingdom of God. And you know, outside the Lord Jesus Christ, when it comes to advancing the kingdom of God in the days of Jesus and right after, I don't believe there's anybody as greater than Paul the Apostle. And he wrote some tremendous, tremendous things to the churches. I want to read you what he said about in the area of righteousness. He said many things, but I want to highlight this morning. Paul declares that righteousness has a protection over it, or it puts a protection upon us. Declaring himself to be a minister of God in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 4, the Apostle Paul said, but in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in as much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in trouble, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, in purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by love. In other words, he's saying that all these things are part of him walking out his ministry in God. And then he says this in verse 7, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness. Notice he declared that there was an armor that comes upon us when we have right standing with God. There is a protection that you and I can walk in when we walk in the righteousness of God. Wayman's translation says that there's an armor of righteousness, and that righteousness is a weapon against the enemy, against the darkness of this world. And so as we fulfill all righteousness, it puts us in a place of protection. And as we go through the waters of baptism, it is like a sign of initiation coming into the kingdom of God. It is a sign of initiation coming in to be a part of the family of God, which is very important. And that sets us apart then to be citizens of the kingdom of God. You know, sometimes in this nation of Canada, in order to have the benefits of being a citizen of the nation of Canada, you have to show some identification. You have to, if you're traveling, you have to show a passport. Sometimes if you're going to participate in something, take advantage of something, there's a card that you have to show to prove that you're a Canadian citizen. Well, in order to have the advantages of heaven sometimes, there's an action that must be produced by ourselves to show that we are citizens of the kingdom of God, that we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And I believe baptism is one of them. Baptism is something that we go through the waters of baptism so the world can see, and that the natural world and the spiritual world, because there's two side by side, they see that this person is a part of the kingdom of God, part of the kingdom of heaven. And so this then makes available to us the benefits of the kingdom of heaven. One of the greatest benefits that I know of is the fact that the Bible teaches that there are angels commissioned to help us carry, to walk in this life. One of the benefits of being a citizen of the kingdom of God is that there are angelic forces sent to minister to us. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14 says this: "Surely the angels are no more than spirits in the service of God, commissioned to serve the heirs of God, the heirs of salvation." And so if you're a believer, if you've come into the kingdom, then you are an heir of salvation. And being a member of the citizenship of heaven means that angels are commissioned to come and to help us walk through this life. Now, I don't want you folks, but I need help. I need help to walk through this life. I heard one fellow say, you know, Jesus teaches. At one point, the children came to Jesus, and the disciples were pushing the children away. And he said, no, let them come to me. Don't you realize that the angels, their angels, are before the Father continually? And one fellow said, you know, we think we need angels when we're little children, but, you know, a lot of us need them even more when we're grown up, because sometimes we're not even as smart as little children. We can get ourselves into trouble, but the angels, they come and they help us to walk right with God. Now, we're placed in a kingdom through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're born into the kingdom of God by accepting the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's interesting because we are born into this world through the womb of a woman. We came through the womb of our mother. We, every one of us, were born into this world through the womb of our mother. It's interesting that we enter into the kingdom of God and we enter into the world, and the method that we enter in through both cost somebody a lot of pain. Jesus on the cross, and you talk to any woman that you had had a child, they don't really speak about it as something that I want to do again right away. Give birth to a child. There was a lot of pain, sometimes worse than others. And, you know, some people remember the pain continually. Connie reminded me of that one day. I was reading a scripture where it says, you know, that women forget their pain shortly after the childbirth because they look at the child, and Connie pipes up, no, we still remember the pain. Still remember. But it cost somebody a lot of pain. And sometimes mothers really remember that when they have a child that's not being disciplined really well. And they say, listen, son, just remember, I took you in this world, I can take you out. I can push things to the limit. We enter into the world through the womb of our mothers. Our mothers have a special place. And God chose our mothers. I believe that with all my heart, that God chose our mothers. You know that? You might say, well, if God loved me so much, and I mean, we all come from some dysfunction, every one of us. We might think we come from the most perfect family. Show me that perfection, and I'll show you some dysfunction in it. We've all come from some dysfunction. Some of us worse than others, but there's a degree of dysfunction in all of us. And so you say, well, Pastor, you know, if God loved me so much, why would he send me a mother that wasn't perfect? God's not looking for perfection. He's not looking for perfection in you. He's not looking for perfection in me. But he is looking for something that's redeemable. God looks at us, imperfect as we are, and he looks at us and he says, what is there that I can redeem? What is there that is redeemable? What gift has I placed in them that I can redeem? You see, what happens when we're born into this world, we have certain gifts that come from God. There's certain talents and so forth that come from God. And I think one of the best examples of this is probably in the arts and the music. There are people, I'm convinced, that have been tremendously gifted of God, that have taken that gift and used it to promote all kinds of very evil and harsh things. All kinds of people who were really, they were meant to serve God with their gift. And the church, unfortunately, in years past, has shunned their gifting, and in order to express it, they went to the world, which is very unfortunate. And they couldn't express the gift that God gave them in the church, so they went to the world. And of course, the world then gets a hold of it and perverts everything that God has given them. But I believe God looks down and say, okay, can there be something redeemed within them? And you can hear, there's all kinds of rock stars of years past have actually become Christians and are now singing Christian music. There's many of them out there that are doing that. Probably one of the most famous and raunchiest was Alice Cooper. And, you know, he terrified a lot of church people, for sure. And but yet he would declare that he is a Christian. Now he is given his life to God, and he is a Christian. And he says, quite frankly, he said, when I look at what's happening today, all the things that I did and all my shows in years past were pretty tame compared to what's happening out there today. But God seen something in somebody like Alice Cooper and said, what's redeemable there? What can be redeemed? Another guy I think of in the boxing world is George Foreman. George Foreman was a wonderful world champion boxer, but he was lost and without God at one point and really going the wrong way. And somehow God came in and changed his life around, and he's used his giftings now for the kingdom of God. What's redeemable? I believe that God sees that in all of us. And when he causes us to be born, when he chooses a mother for us to be born with, he sees things in our mothers that probably we never do. He sees some things that are very, very special and worth, have great, great value. He sees things that go beyond the natural. And he chooses us to be born into a certain family, because family gives us identity. This is why it's so good when I say that when Jesus came out of the water, the heavens opened and the voice came from heaven and said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. He was giving identity to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When you and I are born into a family, we are given identity. When we have connection with family, we are connected with who we are. And that in this world, we need that connection. It helps us to go toward the things of God. It helps us to have confidence in running with God. And the more stable a family you have, the more confident children you'll find within that family to be able to go out and do great things. Which goes into contradiction to a lot of the world, because a lot of the world will say, go out there and experience everything you can possibly experience, and then you'll have confidence because you'll used to it. I found that's not the case at all in life. Most people have experienced a whole bunch of junk that they would have never, that they would be a lot better off if they'd never experienced it. myself included. I look back at some of the things I've experienced and I think, you know, I would be so much better off if I hadn't experienced that. When you're born into a stable family that helps you and gives you an identity and helps you along the path of life, you have much more confidence.